Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture-resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. Today's episode is all about some pictures. So if you're listening on the podcast, I recommend you go to YouTube and take a look at the pictures because some photos of Brian Koberger as a teenager have surfaced on Reddit. And I have spoken with sources who went to school with him who say that's him. That's it. They're legit. What a difference a decade and a half can make. He is literally double the person that he is now back in high school, meaning he's probably lost half of his weight and become that much thinner that you wouldn't recognize him. And with all that weight loss, something else must have happened because the personality that you're about to hear from one of his schoolmates from back in the day and the description that she gives of who he was back then compared to what we know of him now is night and day. It is not the same person. Something happened either with his heroin use, something happened with his weight loss, something happened, you know, as he processed his life from high school and through college. But he is definitely a transformed, different person altogether than who he was and what his high school mates remember him as and knew him as back then. So it's kind of crazy. I do this other show called On Patrol Live. I fill in for Dan Abrams. And one of the staff members on the show, as I was filling in last weekend, came up to me and said, "It's good to see you again." Her name's Mandy. And she said, "You know, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I went to school with Brian Koberger." To which I caught my breath, brought my jaw back up off the floor and said, "Mandy, you need to talk to me on Drop Dead Serious." And she agreed. And on the day that we are talking, these photos have surfaced. So it's sort of great kismet that we can talk about these photos, what she remembers of this kid, because they are definitely the kid she went to school with, and all of the things since, what it was like to hear this news, to hear that name, to know that you're connected, your school is connected, your town is connected, your friends are connected. And then to sort of think back to the guy she knew compared to the guy she's learning about now, this horrific serial killing monster, spree killing, however you want to refer to him, and processing all of that. And it's sort of a fascinating road that we haven't explored a lot because, look, I'm going to say right now, all of the sympathies go to the families of the four kids who were lost, right? The Mogans, the Gonzalveses, the Kernodals, and the Chapins. They are suffering the worst in all of this. There are the surviving roommates. They are suffering. Their families are suffering. And there are the Kobergers. Like, everybody wants to vilify them, but you've got to remember who they are in all of this. They didn't do this. They're not the killer. This guy did it on his own. He was a grown-ass adult, 30 years old now, 28 when the killings happened. And yet, there is this association that for some reason, the internet wants to give the Kobergers like they're somehow complicit. They are not. And so it is interesting to plumb the reactions, the ripple effects, the effects on this family. And by extension, the old friends, the high school friends, even the kids who just knew him, knew of him, the school itself, the town. Anyway, that's where I'm going with this episode today in talking with Mandy about who he was back then and how she's processing all of this with her friends. Mandy, this is so weird because we're work colleagues. Yes. You know, you and I see each other a couple times a year, and you shocked me the other day when you said, "You know, I went to school with him." What? So I couldn't wait to talk to you on this podcast. And we have a really great community in the Drop Dead Serious, you know, podcast world. And I know that they'd want to hear all of your thoughts about knowing one of the most frightening serial killers, well, I guess you could call him a spree killer, but of all time, what it was like to find out about this, what your thoughts were, what your friends' thoughts were, how you guys all reconnected over this. Not only that, but comparing the person that you've been hearing about now with the person that you knew, you know, back in high school. So let's just start with the pictures themselves and go over these pictures and what they kind of invoke for you, because I think this is kind of the first time that you're really seeing them, like all within the last couple of minutes. So let's pop the first picture up in the series of shots. Does this invoke anything? I mean, when I looked at this, it gave me the chills because I only know the Koberger of recent, and I can't get over those eyes. But what does this photo speak to you?
That one kind of seems like a sad, seems like he's sad.
Is that the person you knew? Did you ever get the feeling in high school that that quiet kid was a sad kid?
We just, it was always, again, he was younger than me. So it was more so I spent more time with his sister. And he was always just so quiet. We never got the sense that there was something wrong. You know, sometimes when things like this happen and people come out and they say, oh, he was quiet, but yeah, that kind of makes sense because he did this, this, and this. You know, we didn't have that. Like we grew up in a community where everybody knew everybody. And when this came out, it was very shocking to a lot of us. It was very like, wait, what? Oh, that kind of makes sense for us.
Did you immediately, upon hearing the name Brian Koberger is the one arrested for the horrendous quadruple murder in Idaho, everybody in Idaho in the community there was saying, who? He's not connected to us. Did you suddenly call old friends or old connections from high school and just sort of connect with them to say, what the actual F?
Yes, we did. There were some friends that I reached out to immediately and said, oh my God, did you hear what happened? Did you reach out to so-and-so? What happened? And yes, the group chain started immediately because, again, we do come from such a small town. So everybody who knows everybody, it's a small town where everybody shares the same last name. I shouldn't say that. Hold on. Let me not say
that. But close enough, right? No, that's okay.
But yes, we do come from such a small town where everybody knows everybody. So it was very shocking when we did hear Koberger. It was instantly, I said, oh my God, I went to high school with the Kobergers. Amanda was in my graduating class. So it was very, very shocking to all of us. Yes, for sure.
What did everyone say? Like, what was the basics of the conversations that you suddenly were all having? And this was like December 30th.
Everybody was shocked. There was no inkling of, yeah, like I said, there was no, that makes sense.
There was no thought that, well, we all knew he was going to be
right
in the news in some way.
Right. There was no thought that any of us would have ever imagined that something like this would have went down. No.
Did you try to reach out to Amanda, his sister? Did you try to reach out to the family members that you went to school with?
I have not. No. I have personal friends who are personal friends with the families. And that's
they must have gone through the most unimaginable hell. I mean, they're sort of the forgotten victims in all of this, the Koberger family. They did not do this. They did nothing. They were not complicit in this. This is Brian Koberger's doing. This is his monstrous mind at work. This was his monstrous hands at work. This was not his two sisters. This was not his parents. And they really suffered.
They did. And my heart goes out to Amanda and his family. And, you know, it's very, very hard. It's, you know, the Kohlbergers are left with the aftermath of what he did. Like, his poor family now has to deal with everything that he did.
What are they like, the Kobergers?
Amanda was a sweet, sweet girl growing up. She was wonderful. She has a great personality. She's wonderful. So it's a shame that she's being drugged through the mud the way that she is. She does not deserve it at all.
She lost her job, right? She and her sister both were fired so quickly.
From what I understand, and it's very unfortunate. She does not deserve what's happening to her and her sister. And I wish them nothing but the best. I hope that, you know, they can move past what's happening to them. It's very unfortunate.
I want to go back to some of these pictures from high school. You know, I had seen a couple pictures before, so I knew he was heavier, and looks like he's a lot heavier. He looks like he's half the size that he used to be. But this is the guy you went to school with. Like, this is the image. This is the person you remember.
Yeah.
Does it invoke any kind of memory, or does it just sort of leave you flat?
It just sort of leaves me flat, to be honest, because again, there was never any, you know, he never had anything towards women or anything towards anybody. He was just very to himself. He was very quiet. So
that's what fascinates me. Because the person that we are getting to know, as opposed to the person here, you know, from 15 or so years ago, is skinny, angry, rude, misogynistic, and is belligerent, like wants to be out front in class, wants to lecture everybody. Certainly not a quiet guy. So what do you make of that?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I really don't know. Again, it was shocking. It was shocking to all of us. It's shocking now. It's.
Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. It really.
So in high school, you never got an inkling that he wouldn't look at girls or didn't like girls or used to talk amongst a group of kids that, you know, they were like, well, for lack of a better term, we now call them incels, but might have been the group of incels. It wasn't like that?
No.
It feels like, you know, from your description of him, he just was that guy that faded into the woodwork.
Yeah. And I know I just keep saying it, and I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record. He really was just the quiet kid who just... You know, when he graduated high school, he became the security guard at the high school for a little bit there. And he, you know, he stayed in the town, and that's what a lot of people do in that town is they, you know, they graduate high school and they stay there. And we just thought he was just kind of a
non-memorable, you know, homogenous kind of nondescript fella.
Yeah.
So thinking about who we've come to know, this personality that's just so off-putting, right? We've heard that he would skip or be late to female professors' classes, but not male professors. He would dress down female students. He would cause many of them to cry. And he caused professors to meet about him, to say he's going to be a danger if we give him a PhD. It just sounds like it's 100% transformation from the kid you went to school with.
It is. That's why it's so shocking to all of us who come from this small town that where did this come from? And I know that it's so cliche to say, you know, things like this don't happen in these small towns, but it really took us all by storm. The people that I talked to, the circle that I'm in, we were all very, very shocked.
Did you start thinking about it? Like, did you, when you heard all these details, you know, because clearly you're pretty connected to the story, so you follow the headlines, maybe more than most, right? Mm-hmm. But did you start thinking back, what did I miss? Were there red flags? Did you go over your whole map of your mind from high school thinking, where might this have all had its genesis? Like, what was your thought process?
I think at first I remember going through and seeing where he was in high school. Saying, because I remember, you know, again, because we all grew up in, it was such a small town. And he was younger than me, so he was more closer to my sister's age. But Amanda was in my class. It was just it was just so crazy. It really was. Like, I know I just keep repeating myself because it really was just so crazy to see such a big headline and then to see your high school on CNN, because that's really what happened. It was breaking news, and a picture of my high school popped up on CNN, and I was like, what is going on? So it's just.
Did you search your mind like constantly? Like, what did I miss? What did I miss? What did I miss back then?
I think we all did. I think we all at one point said, what could we have all not seen? But none of us missed anything. Obviously, we all missed something. But
none of you, even in all your chat sessions and, you know, your communications after his arrest, you couldn't come up with anything that made sense.
No. We can't. It's so bizarre. Because again, he was quiet and he was nice. His sister was great. His sister is great. It's bizarre. It's very bizarre.
Mandy, knowing what we know now about Brian Koberger, there's some thought that he may have been bullied in school. Does that make sense? Just knowing your high school culture, that he might have been, you know, relentlessly bullied. Maybe that triggered him.
Bullying at my high school, unfortunately, was a problem. I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't. Bullying is a problem in today's culture and was back then. So I wouldn't put it past that could have been a problem for him.
Did you ever hear of anything that related to him? Groups that didn't like him?
Specifically, no. But again, like I keep saying, he was very, very quiet. But that could have attributed to him being very quiet, that he was bullied.
And it wouldn't surprise you, knowing the culture of your high school back then and the classes back then, that could have been happening to him?
It would not surprise me, no. Yeah.
And I don't give a pass to anybody, trust me, on I was bullied, therefore I murdered four innocent kids in their bed. Like, bullshit. But
no, absolutely
we're just
not.
All yes. Grabbing at any sip of a straw that we can to figure out what turns someone from the quiet kid, a little overweight with his backpack and his satin shorts, into one of the most infamous American killers of all time.
Yeah. Bullying was a problem for sure in my high school.
But who knows if it affected him
that much it's hard to say.
What did you think when you saw Amanda and her mom in court behind Brian Koberger for his sentencing?
You know, I think it takes a lot. I think it took a lot of strength for the two of them to do what they did. I think, what do you do in that situation? To be completely honest, I think about so many things. You know, if you know, they probably were there to not only support their own family member who they are now losing. You know, people do forget that even though he committed these heinous, horrible crimes, they are still losing a family member. So they are there for their family member, but they're also there for the victims. I believe that they were there to support the victims as well. So I think it took tremendous courage for the two of them to be there. And I think that they should be commended for being there. I think that the pushback that they got for being there was very, very harsh.
Nobody's ever walked in those shoes, and then they feel like they're experts and they can be trolls online. You cannot imagine what it's like to hear news that just came out of nowhere. Oh, by the way, you're never going to have this one back for Christmas. You're never going to. It's not just that. It would be easier if he was dead.
Sometimes that's the easier route. Like, you know that they're never coming. Like, it's,
and the, I, you and know, the I, horror that he's there, and the probably the guilt that his parents and his sisters will go through. Like, do I have to get on a plane for 6 hours to go have a horrible visit behind glass? Once every how often? Don't know. With my brother, my son, my child. Like, just imagine the pressure on them and the guilt that they'll go through as well.
Nobody wins.
By the way, because all of my conversations have been about the victims and the family members, because the trauma they're going through is like nothing that anyone will go through. It's just this is yet another piece that very few people talk about.
Yeah, nobody understands, because of course the victims' traumas are what the victims go through, and the victims' families we will never comprehend, we will never understand, absolutely not. But I think it's worth noting that Brian Koberger's family also lost a son, also lost a brother, also lost somebody. Like Amanda and her mother will never, like, they did lose somebody. I'm not saying that they're suffering in the same way by any means necessary.
No, I understand what you're saying. I think they also... Yes, they've lost that guy. Of course, they can visit him in a prison, but they've got the added horror and humiliation of being associated, like how people feel. So they're somehow complicit, or they're somehow a part of this awfulness, like this, like you went to school with the guy. Big, you know, no one's ever going to associate you with his horrible actions, but they do associate his family.
Right. Now for the rest of their lives, they're not only associated with, they're associated with that. These poor girls, this poor girl lost her job. Like, come on.
And has that name. She's got that name.
So I think you know, he and looks just like him, like spitting image. I mean, you know, it's got to be very, very hard. I mean, I commend her for handling it with such grace, for handling it as well as she is, and for not letting the internet consume her the way I would let it consume me, if we're being completely honest.
There's no blueprint. Right? There's no blueprint.
No, there is no blueprint.
There's no blueprint for the Gonzalez family, for the Chapin family, for the Mogan family, for the Kernodle family. There's no blueprint for them to process this bizarre thing that landed like an atom bomb in their life, in their world, in their love. There's no blueprint for it. And there's less of a blueprint for the other side of it, because there's less attention given to people like the Kobergers, you know. And then there are the trolls. It's a new layer in the last decade that's really, you know, evolved sadly, that there's a troll environment that will attack families of the victims, believe it or not, families of the four kids and family members of Brian Koberger.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
You're such a sweetheart for talking to me, and I look forward to seeing you again at the office.
But I look forward to seeing you, Ashley. Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate your insight. I think we don't usually hear enough from people who, again, have these residual connections to massive, massive stories and crimes. And it's a lot for people like you to process as well. And there's so much going on with the victims' family members and, of course, Koberger's family members that we kind of forget that you're out here too.
Yeah, no, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.